listening to Money News on 2GB thanks to Nissan Altima. It's time to upgrade to business class with a luxurious sedan.
Welcome back to Money News right around Australia. Tell you what, it's really interesting always to get a perspective of Australia from somewhere else. And in this particular case, a man who knows Australia quite intimately, but also is now somewhere else. That man is Oliver Hartwich, who is the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, but previously was a Senior Researcher at the Centre for Independent Studies. Now, just take it back only about 2 years ago or so. He has written articles about Australia and talked about the resistance for change in Australia, not only at a political level, but also from a community level as well. It almost seems as though politicians might suggest change and everybody goes, yeah, let's change. But as soon as the change is made, you suddenly get there and you have no change whatsoever because the public says, hey, we're not doing that. Now, it's interesting because The Economist magazine has today written what I would say is almost a scathing assessment of Australia and its politics. It says that certainly Malcolm Turnbull has done a brave thing in, changing and reforming the Senate voting system. And he really has dished it out to the Australian people in regards to trying to get change through. But then it comes out and says that Australia is in quite clearly some difficult political situations right now. Then also another report had come out over the weekend suggesting that of all of the OECD countries, that Australia is second most likely because of its mounting debt versus its rather stagnant economic growth, even though it's been a bit better of late, that the rising total debt, not just government debt, but total debt in our community means that we are second most likely to go into recession. Now, that's a big call for Australia, and it's something that most people are simply blind to. Let's now go to the other side of the Tasman Sea. Let's go to Oliver Hartwich, Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. G'day, Oliver. How are you doing?
Hello. Good evening, Ross. How are you?
Good to chat to you. And we've chatted many times while you were at the Centre for Independent Studies. But this time, the essay that you wrote going back almost 2 years about this unwillingness for change in the Australian society, you made the observation at some stage it catches up to Australia. New Zealand quite clearly has a more flexible political system. It has more flexible politicians when it comes to being pragmatic about that change. But it seems as though the people will go along with it. Why is it? Is it simply the Senate? Everybody simply points at the Senate and says it's all the Senate's fault. But it seems to be something deeper than that in the Australian psychology.
Well, when I published that essay, and it was called Quiet Achievers and came out in late 2014, Tony Abbott said all the time that, it's just because of the Senate, and if we didn't have a Senate, everything would be fine. It would be just as successful as the New Zealanders in reforming our economy. My response to him and to everybody else saying the same was, actually, New Zealand doesn't have a Senate. Of course, we don't have an upper house, but we've got a completely different electoral system. So we basically have all your Senate problems in our lower house because there's only one, it's MMP. It's a mixed member proportional system. Our voting system is just as complicated as yours, except it's all happening in one chamber. I think that is not the explanation of it. I think it really comes down to the ability of your leading politicians to explain the reforms that they have to do. And I think on that front, New Zealand has just been better served with Prime Minister John Key, with Finance Minister Bill English. They've basically taken the country on a journey, really telling the country what needs to be done, and then introducing these reforms one step at a time. Whereas I think in Australia, as you say, there is a lot of talk about reform, there's a lot of talk about change, but nothing is ever properly explained.
And it's not as though there's not enough reports. There's every report under the sun that's been done. There's been every inquiry under the sun that's been done. There's been two into the finance sector and the tax system. And so you sit there and say, look, at some stage, somebody's just got to actually be brave enough and have the conviction to go to the people and say, we have a plan. This is our plan. Not everybody will win, but most people long term will. And that is the real frustration, I think, that many people inside business and others that really have done it. As I said, The Economist magazine pointing out that there have been, four prime ministers in the past 3 years in Australia, it doesn't really, if you like, sort of scream stability to anybody.
Absolutely. I think it is not an intellectual problem in Australia, but people actually do know what needs to be done. Most experts know what needs to be done. The problem is really that you have to explain these reforms very carefully. And I just want to give you an example from New Zealand how that's been done here. When John Key and Bill English got elected first time, they basically spent the first 3 years just preparing the country for welfare reform, social policy reforms that had to be undertaken. There was a welfare reform commission, and that really took the first term of the Key government just to come back with some recommendations and some explanations and some narrative really to the people what had to be done. The second term that Key had was then spent almost entirely on just implementing these changes. So in total, we're talking about a period of 6 years to get these welfare reforms over the line. And now, I think, after 7 years of the Key government, there's hardly any opposition left to these welfare changes because everybody now really understands what they are about and they're actually working. So I think you need to really have this very long perspective in introducing these reforms. You just can't do that overnight. Even though you may understand completely what needs to be done, you need to take the people with you on that journey. And I think Australian politicians are not very good at it.
And I think they're very, very worried themselves about the fact they might lose political favour as they do implement some of those changes, which is, again, is the reason why they've stepped away from changes to things such as negative gearing, superannuation reforms, and even if you go to the big one, which has been the GST as well, which New Zealand quite clearly did increase. Oliver Hart, which is the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. And Oliver, always great to have a chat to you, and thanks for your time on the program this evening.
Thank you very much.